Good Monday. Today is May the 12th, and you're listening to My Farm. We're going to start off this Monday morning talking about fertilizer prices, as those prices seem to keep going up as we get further on into the growing season. We're also going to take an interesting look at some genetic changes to alfalfa and ways it may become easier to use it to help recycle wastewater. We'll have the details after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Taking a look at your agricultural headlines, three fertilizers had an extensive price increase compared to a month ago. Leading the way higher was UAN-32. That liquid nitrogen fertilizer saw an increase of 12% compared to last month and had an average retail price of $474 a ton. Now, UAN-28 was 7% more expensive than last month, while urea was 6% higher. UAN-28 had an average price of $387 a ton, while urea came in at $596 per ton. The remaining five fertilizers that are tracked had slightly higher prices. DAP had an average price of $785 a ton, while MAP came in at $824 a ton. Potash was $472 a ton. 1034-O was $666 a ton. And rounding it out, anhydrous ammonia came in at $787 per ton. If you break all that down on a price per pound unit nitrogen basis, the average urea price was 65 cents per pound unit nitrogen. Anhydrous ammonia was 48 cents a pound. UAN-28 was 69 cents per pound, and UAN-32, 74 cents per pound unit nitrogen. Five fertilizers are now higher in price compared to where they were a year ago. DAP is up 1%, urea is 2% more expensive, 1034-O is 4% higher than last year, UAN-28 is 6% higher, and UAN-32 is 13% higher looking back to 1 year ago. The remaining three fertilizers are lower. Both MAP and anhydrous are 1% less expensive, while potash is 8% lower compared to where it was a year ago. Now, last week, the Fertilizer Institute released its list of the 2025-26 public policy priorities for working with the Trump administration, regulatory agencies, and Congress. The Fertilizer Institute's priorities are broken down into eight key areas, including tax and trade, energy and economic growth, environment, transportation, permitting, registration and designations, safety and security, innovation, and Farm Bill reauthorization. Now, with the 119th Congress underway, we've hit the ground running and are advocating for strong policies that not only ensure the fertilizer industry is able to continue feeding the world sustainably, but also support the farmers who grow our nation's crops. The Fertilizer Institute President and CEO Corey Rosenbusch said in a press release, "We've had tremendous success in having the critical role fertilizer plays in our nation's security recognized, and we look forward to continuing our engagement with the administration and Congress. Strengthening the domestic fertilizer industry and pushing for policies that promote grower adoption of nutrient stewardship practices are not the only priorities of the Fertilizer Institute. Transportation and infrastructure are also big issues for the group. Food security is national security, and fertilizer availability is paramount to keeping us all fed," according to that release. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions, go from talking about changes in fertilizer prices to changes in alfalfa. Genetic research by USDA is behind the development of an alfalfa variety with a greater tolerance for high saline levels found in irrigation groundwater or even if we try and use recycled water. USDA's Rod Bain has more.
In a state with a large amount of high-value crops, think various tree nuts as an example, there needs to be consideration for another important crop in California, alfalfa hay.
California is also a big dairy state, which means that you need alfalfa for dairy. And alfalfa is very hard to transport from a different state because it's a big biomass. Transportation cost is going to be huge. So you have to grow alfalfa in California.
Yet as researcher Devinder Sandhu of USDA's Ag Water Efficiency and Salinity Research Unit in the Golden State points out, to avoid alfalfa competing in land use with other high-value crops,
grow alfalfa in the regions where these high-value crops do not grow, where quality of water is not good, quality of soil is not good.
Increasing demand for surface water and greater use of groundwater and recycled water for irrigation has led to H2O with high salt concentration for crops such as alfalfa.
Plants, they do not like high salt in irrigation water or in the soil. So this is leading to slowly increase in soil and water salinity. So increased salt is causing major reduction in yield, so we are getting less and less production.
As a research geneticist, Santu and colleagues are developing new lines of alfalfa varieties with the trait of higher tolerance to saline.
There are two lines which both of them are really good. When we looked at molecular level, these two lines are actually very different from each other. Then I decided to combine the characters of these two lines to make it even more tolerant to salt.
The combined germplasm was tested using real salt water from the Pacific Ocean. The findings?
When you grow alfalfa under half seawater salinity, it does not lose any biomass at all. And even if you keep increasing the salinity going up to seawater, these plants, they don't die.
With alfalfa being a perennial crop, planted once, grown and harvested multiple years, and the ground or recycled irrigation water salinity levels fluctuating year over year, Sanhu says the significance for farmers is, well, significant. As far as next steps with this alfalfa variety,
we are thinking to take this line and go through plant variety protection or germplasm release for farmers to try this out in the regions where the concentration of salt is high in water and soil, so they can directly try that.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.